Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. John Couch on the other side of the glass doing our social distancing here on the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday, March 31st, 2020. Social distancing while bringing people together in our Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. You can call us at any time during the hour. Hope you do. Like to hear from you, 790-2040. Let's begin the program with the Buckmaster Contributor on Education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. He's very involved with interfaith services here in town. He's a board member of their Interfaith Services Food Bank. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing as well as it can be expected, Bill. I think we're all kind of trying to take each day at a time.
Yeah, we take one day at a time. You were with us a couple of weeks ago, and you put out a desperate plea at that time for the food bank. Do you have any update for us?
Well, I was there yesterday, and I was actually there in the afternoon where we just received supplies. So there wasn't a lot of social contact, but we had people that were bringing in grapefruits and lemons that they picked from their trees, and all that's very helpful. We have a drive-by system so that people in the mornings, and food bank is open from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. They can drive by, they can pick up their food, and it's put in the trunk of their car, and it seems to work out fairly well.
Well, there's no school. School is in session remotely, but the school year basically has ended as far as the brick and mortar situation. And I think a fundamental question, Dr. Hendricks, is this an extended holiday for kids, or do you think they're getting some real learning done at home?
Well, I think the school districts are struggling to try to make this work. I mean, let's be honest. Most districts, you know, are not prepared for comprehensive instruction by computer. I mean, we think of a computer in terms of communication with email and websites and so forth, but I've done some online instruction, and it's very sophisticated. If you want to deliver instruction in that way, you need much more preparation than just contact with students. You know, you've got to have a structured, sophisticated infrastructure for instruction, and that I think is a struggle for districts that have not been prepared for this, and who would think that they would need to be?
I'm curious, Bob Hendricks, has research been done on online distance learning compared to face-to-face learning? Any research out there on this?
Well, there is some, and actually, with the right kind of online instruction and engagement, it can be a very effective teaching tool. But again, my point is that that takes time, that takes money, that takes, universities who have that kind of a program have a full technical staff devoted to putting together that infrastructure. And, you know, school districts don't have the time or the financial needs to have this ready at this point.
I'm just
issue, Bill, is that what we've discovered, and I think we've known this for a long time, is that families, particularly in the lower income areas, don't have access to the internet at home or computer devices. I know some districts are scrambling to get out these low cost Chromebooks to students, but there's still this issue of internet delivery, and so this is a kind of situation which I think really brings into focus the fact that there's inequity, you know, among students. And it's alarmingly apparent that we will be able to deliver some instruction to some students, and with other students, you know, short of, you know, mailing them physical material into their hands, they're not going to have the same kind of instructional advantage.
I think a fundamental question is this. If you're a low-income person, and maybe it's a single family a household, who is watching the child, and who's supervising this online instruction at home?
Well, we don't know. One of the answers could possibly be that it's grandparents, which is becoming more and more the situation with the children at home. We know we have a lot of parents now that have been laid off that are home as well. And so, you know, it's in some ways it's a new experiment in homeschooling. And if there's something positive to come out of this, I'm hoping that parents, join in a partnership with teachers and, through whatever delivery system instruction is being provided, that parents become part of that formula too, because, you know, someone is going to have to monitor not only physically the presence of students, you know, in their home, but they're going to have to monitor the instruction as well. And so, you know, the state legislature, recently enacted the fact that to provide services, students are going to have to get the instruction or the districts aren't going to get state aid. And so there's got to be some way to deliver this instruction. And I'm really hopeful that teachers are resourceful enough to find ways to reach out to their students. And, a lot of teachers are looking at communication tools such as Zoom or Google Classroom or Skype, and they're using it to connect with students and conduct lessons, give assignments, and provide instruction. And that, you know, that is a way, if there is a computer in place and the internet works, you know, that's a good way to deliver instruction. However, again, we've got the situation with students in some cases where in some low SES communities, you know, less than half of the students in a classroom have access to a computer.
Would it be better just to say, let's do a redo of the school year?
Well, I don't know how logistically that would work.
if it were possible.
We're looking at a loss of 2 months. Some people have rationalized that at least 2 weeks out of that time was being used for preparation for the state standardized tests, which now are not going to be held. That's been put on hold. So, you know, and, you know, some have also said, you know, the last couple weeks of school, you know, are kind of a wind down period. But, you know, nevertheless, grades have to be issued. There has to be some kind of accountability. And I think the onus on teachers now is going to be, how do you find a way to measure accountability when the students are not physically present? And what do you ask of them? Can you give them assignments out of textbooks? I know some teachers are using podcasts. They're using YouTubes. They're using documentaries that are on your streaming channels. They have reading lists. They have virtual learning sites. They're suggesting crafts and games. You know, all these things you could be happening in, in the home, or maybe not. But at some point, teachers are going to have to say, how do we account for this? How do we hold students accountable? And how does that translate into a final grade? Because there are going to have to be grades given. You've got high school students that are counting on their grades. You've got seniors that are graduating. You've got, it's a mess.
It is.
It's absolutely, it's so frustrating to think, how you possibly can make this work.
But I know.
I do think that, you know, parents are going to have to come into this element, and maybe teachers and parents, you know, can verify that students are doing this work and sign off on it, you know, through some kind of journal assignments or so forth. But,
wow.
You know, somehow we've got to make it through these last 2 months.
We certainly do.
2 months now.
Okay, we're going to run. Bob Hendricks, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, thanks, Bill. You're most welcome. Bye.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education. Like so many things in waking up every morning and saying to ourselves, first of all, thank you, Lord, that I survived the night. And then kind of like, was it the Groundhog Day movie? Over and over, like the nightmare continues. But we have to push on, and we will push on with Shelley Fishman. And Shelley will be with us after I tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery. I am so proud of Mona and Steve and Michael up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're making do. They're making it happen. It's a very popular bakery. You can walk in, get their bakery goods. They've got the full contingent of the lovely things they put out every day for you, the breads and all of the pastries. The lobby, yes, is closed to sit-down dining, but they're open. The grill's fired up 6:30 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. If you would like to call ahead to place your order, that's fine. They'll have it ready for you, 579-1959. Or you can get that number at monasdanishbakery.com. That's their website. Also a link to Mona's at buckmastershow.com. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Be right back with Shelley Fishman.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
Shelly Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelly through buckmastershow.com or at shellyfishman.com.
And here he is telephonically, Shelly Fishman, my friend who I miss. Having Shelly in the studio, actually, we're doing the social distancing thing, so Shelly's is on the phone. And boy, I'll tell you, that decision Shelly made to have your own kind of home workout area, that decision that you made a couple of years ago sure looks good right now, Shelly Fishman.
Bill, there's nothing like having a gym outside of your kitchen window that says, if you don't come in and work out today, we're going to keep calling you and calling you and calling you. And it's perfect because there's no excuses. I love it.
Hey, Shelly, we haven't had a relatively calm day on Wall Street in, it seems like, years, but today seems to be kind of quiet.
I think as we speak, the market is calling us a liar.
Oh, no.
We're down about 350 points.
Oh, boy.
It's a little different from what it was just 20 minutes ago. I don't know what's causing this to tank, but the volatility remains, and what happens is that when we get a little bit of good news, markets are optimistic and try to recover somewhat. But then the constant barrage of information, and by the way, we need that information, but it is constant. And if you're an investor and you keep your radio on and your television on and you're just listening to this stuff, at some point, you just get scared.
Yes, you do. And at some point, you do have to walk away from it. You have to take a break. I know personally, no more going online before I go to bed. It's just not good.
Good for you.
I'll tell you, folks, if you want to be up all night, here's the way to do it. Just sit in front of the computer at about 9 o'clock and then try to go to bed. It ain't going to happen.
That's right, Bill. I mean, yeah. You're either going to be angry or worried, or maybe both.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Shelly, I think the question I hear is, where's the bottom?
Okay, so I wish I knew. I don't. I thought that when we got, I think it was like the beginning of last week, when we broke through about 18,000, that could possibly be the bottom. But we're going to get today the forecasts from the CDC on what is the likely case, both best case and worst case, for how this infection is going to spread through the United States. And based upon some of the teasing we got yesterday, it looks like the number of deaths could be between 100 and 200,000 Americans. When we see that, I think, told to us with the president standing next to the CDC representative, whether that's Dr. Fauci or somebody else, that is going to be a very sobering report. And we could then, I think, see this market just tank a little bit more.
Mm.
Now, That's just my crystal ball. I mean,
sure.
I have no inside information there. What we do see is that after that happens, you know, the market tends to recover for a couple of days, then we get a bad day and a good day. It's totally unpredictable. I don't think we're seeing logic at work, certainly not investment logic at work. What we're seeing at work is this pandemic.
What is the advice? Is the advice pretty much the same it has been whenever we've had a terrible crisis on Wall Street and with the markets tanking?
Yes, it is. Every time we've had one of these events, and since World War II, we've had 12 recessions, and each recession has been kind of ushered in by a real drop in the market. And in all cases, we've had recoveries, and those recoveries have gone on to new highs. So if you're in your 40s, 50s, even early 60s, and you can wait this out, and you have some cash on the side, you know, don't wait for a bottom. You know, we're down, what, 25% now from the highs we had a few weeks ago, close to 29,000. You know, to take a 25% of your cash and, you know, find something relatively interesting to put it in, then wait a week and do another 25% and see where that goes. You know, you can dollar average back in, and you're going to be, if not at the very lows of the market, you're going to be pretty close to the lows of the market, as long as you don't need that money anytime soon. And what I mean by anytime soon is, let's say, 4 or 5 years. So that's money that you want to grow from where the markets are today or yesterday, day before yesterday, tomorrow. I don't know. You know, we're at a low point. Yeah, we're very near where the low points are. Now, so, you know, if you have time to wait this out, you know, thinking about getting back in on a slow and steady basis is usually what's recommended. On the other hand, if you're in retirement and you're using your funds, or you're getting near retirement and are going to need to use those funds when they're at these depressed levels, you have a different set of problems, because the last thing you want to do is sell your holdings at a time when the market is way down. There's no way to recover from that. On the other hand, you have this need for those funds. So what you really need to do is take a look at your budget, take a look at your spending, take a look at your ability to maybe tighten your belt, and figure out how to spend as few of those invested, depleted dollars as you possibly can until you see some signs of recovery in the economy.
Because there are some really rock-solid companies out there that are relatively low-priced right now, correct, Shelley?
There are a number of those.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand what a rock-solid company is anymore.
Maybe one that's not going to declare bankruptcy. I don't know.
Well, you know, tell me in advance who those are.
Yeah.
The problem is both the supply side and the demand side effects of what's going on in the economy now have affected just about every company. I mean, we're seeing some companies actually do very well because there's suddenly a demand for what they make, and that demand is being not only filled, but filled with the help of the government. So, you know, there are some investors out there who can take a look in an analytical way at what is likely to come out of this in a at least for the next couple of months in an advantaged position and invest that way. But for the average investor, Bill, that's nothing to do. What you want to do is probably stick with companies that you can trust and that have been around a while. Or, on the other hand, you can buy into mutual funds or index funds that feature those kinds of companies. And even if one or two of, say, 40 or 50 of those companies, you know, turns out to be a dog, you know, the rest are going to be okay. So, for people who are not in this every single day, then what you want to do is trust the professional investors who can help you pick more or less safe investments that are in line with your investment risk and time frame requirements.
I don't know the company that makes toilet paper, but whoever that is, they must be doing extremely well, because I have not seen a roll of toilet paper in a store in about 3 or 4 weeks. So
yeah, and I don't know what the margin on toilet paper manufacturing is, but you know that company is going to have a little bit of a spike.
Yeah,
and that's kind of good. At some point, the demand for toilet paper will fall back to what it usually is, and the excess quantities out there will suppress demand until the thing kind of evens out. So you got to be a little bit careful with that kind of clever investing. But now is the time to speak with your investment advisor and not pay attention to greed, not pay attention to fear, but pay attention to your long-term plan for investing and not try to upset the apple cart. For some people, that's going to be a good strategy, and for highly risk-taking people, that might be something that is fun and might even be profitable in the near term. But for the vast majority of investors, stay away.
All right, Shelley, hang in there, like we're all doing. Thanks, Shelley.
You too, Bill.
Okay, Shelley Fishman.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. A lot of exciting things going on over at Green Things. More and more people during these very troubled times doing home gardening and planning reinventing the Victory Garden that we saw back in World War II. Well, Green Things can take care of everything you need for the small home grower with ready-made hydro kits. They're easy to assemble. They have a full inventory of the various nutrients that the better-known brands like Fox Farm, as well as all different soils like Roots, Organic, and Ocean Forest. So Green Things, your home for the Green Lady Hydro business, which they have been ramping up. Green Things located 3384 East River Road, 50 years, still growing. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. Well, humanity has been surviving plagues for thousands of years. And in fact, quarantining was invented, I believe, during the first wave of the bubonic plague in the 14th century, but it was deployed more systematically during the Great Plague in London of 1665. We'll be able to verify that with one of, the great minds of our community. He is Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of German Studies. He is the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions. We'll have to ask him about that in a moment. He's director of undergraduate studies in the Department of German Studies at the U of A, and he's the editor-in-chief of several humanities journals, and it's always a pleasure to welcome him to our program. Dr. Clausen, how are you, sir?
Hello, Bill. Thank you very much.
I'm just so curious. This most noble order of the three lions, what is that?
It is an order of founded by a man called Duke Max of Swabia, renewing the medieval tradition, and it was established to honor individuals like me who contributed in terms of teaching and research, particularly promoting the study of German literature, culture, and language.
You have done a lot of research on about quarantines. Are they effective generally, Dr. Clausen?
Well, we are talking here about primarily medieval and early modern cases, but in most of those that we know from historical and literary sources, well, very limited success. Because ultimately, as we all know from the Great Black Death period, 1347 to 1351, it was ultimately devastating and no one was really spared.
So quarantining, I guess I was accurate, right? So it kind of started in the 14th century. Now, if we move to the dark days of 1665, with the bubonic plague in London, I believe that was the first use, Dr. Clausen, of the so-called, what we are now calling, social distancing. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, to some extent. If you go a little bit further back, what most cities tried to do in Italy, Spain, France, Germany, was simply to shut off all foreigners and to isolate themselves. The irony, of course, was that the plague was mostly already within their communities, and they all lived under bad conditions, hygienically speaking. So then, even though they did not allow foreigners to come in, the plague devastated their own communities. In many cases, Bill, we just don't know enough. I mean, if you take medieval Europe, most of Europe was affected, but there were some isolated cases like Bohemia, what we call today the Czech Republic, or Iceland, where practically nothing happened. So little islands. So when you're talking about England and London, they were, of course, trying everything they could, but these were just efforts in a situation where they did not know anything really about the etiology of those epidemics.
When you mentioned Iceland, I've been doing some checking out of areas right now in the world, Dr. Claassen, without a case. And as of, I think it was yesterday, American Samoa has zero cases. And again, isolation, I guess, pays off in this in this realm, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, it seems also be very strange if you look at Sweden right now.
Yes.
They don't have any lockdown, no restrictive bans or something like that, and yet they basically don't have any cases.
Yeah, they have relatively few cases, and I wondered, what's your thinking on that?
Well, I'm not an expert on Sweden, but what I know is that those people have an excellent social network, a wonderful healthcare system, and I would say also a very good attitude, a good mindset of social awareness. Medically, it's very difficult to say what they do differently, but I think they are a happier society than we are. And so I think there's a very major psychological or psychosomatic factor that no one really discusses. We get all these traumatic news and the horrible figures, but we forget that most doctors really tell us stay well also psychologically, mentally, and that has a major impact on us.
Well, that is so important, and I agree with you, and I know that you've been putting out on Facebook a daily haiku, right? Correct?
Yeah, I have started doing this when it got really traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've invited people all over the world because I believe that the value of the word, after all, I'm in the humanities. I'm working and fighting for words and literature and poetry and the beauty. And then the creative act itself, whether it's now music or paintings or writing. And I think haikus are a wonderful way of inspiring lots of people to get engaged.
Could you explain briefly what haiku is, and would you read today's, which I thought was very nice? We have so much quiet right now. I know in my home office at home, normally we live fairly close to River Road, and usually you'll hear traffic in the morning and the evening. I don't hear anything anymore, but what I hear are the birds. Could you do the haiku reading for us today, please?
Yeah, well, I had two. One I just posted 1 hour ago, but I quote the one you refer to. Day by day we live, birds and sunshine remind us, let's get back to work.
Interesting.
The other one was just 1 hour ago, sing a song with me. The chorus always sounds good. We will achieve much.
Very good. I would like you to stick around for a second segment. We have much more to talk to. So hang with us, Dr. Claassen.
Sure. Thank you.
We will talk with you after we take the break right here. But, John, before we take the break, I want to tell people about our other great sponsor, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great sponsors who's been with us for so many years. And they are preparing and they've got their fingers crossed that we will have these very dark days behind us by the Memorial Day weekend, because that is their big event over in Silver City with their Blues Festival. They'll be making a decision in a couple of weeks. So one thing that I know a lot of people like myself who love to travel, I'm kind of a daydream traveler almost every day. I think about trips down the road, and there's nothing wrong with planning a three-hour drive eventually here to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The place to start your thinking about the trip, southwestnewmexico.org, for places to stay and things to do. Back with Dr. Albrecht Clausen right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Governor Doug Ducey will be hosting a COVID-19 virtual town hall. He'll be answering your questions, and you can listen to it live right here on 1030 The Voice, Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. We continue now with our discussion with Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor of German Studies at the University of Arizona. Dr. Clausen, I've been looking at some of the similarities between the 1665 Black Plague epidemic in London with what they did and what we're doing today. Charles II issued a formal order in 1666 that ordered a halt to all public gatherings, including funerals. That sounds familiar. Already theaters had been shut down in London. And I guess instead of runs on Clorox, Dr. Clausen, they were trying to sterilize their homes with lime.
Well, but see, the whole issue is that the Black Death was based on a bacterium. And it's a completely different story from the COVID-19, which is based on a virus.
Mm-hmm.
So when people were then locked into their houses or they tried to use chloroform or whatever, they forgot that the rats were already in the house and the rats were infected by the fleas and the fleas jumped and bit the people and hence they infected everyone. So it didn't work.
It's
a completely different situation today.
And the bubonic plague was caused, they said at the time, by smells in the air.
Asthmas, but it's, they had no idea. They were helpless. And basically, they were helpless until, well, the late 19th century. But if you think about it, the bubonic plague just broke out, I think, in 2017 in Madagascar, for example, and many other parts of Africa. The bubonic plague is with us. We just have enough immune material in our bodies today. Death lurks right there behind us, always.
Always, yes. What is your take, Dr. Clausen, on what you're seeing around? I mean, it seems like these kinds of situations we're in bring the worst out in people and some of the best. So your take, please.
Yes. So I can only speak as an historian, not as a psychologist or sociologist. But what we have always seen is whenever a plague breaks out, people have looked for culprits. So during the first major outbreak of the Black Death, 1347 to 1351, the major culprits were Jews. Jews were always accused of all kinds of wild things, and the crowds were always looking for opportunity to punish someone and thereby to get rid of the plague, which of course never happened. But this was a time of massive pogroms, expulsion of Jews, killing massively Jewish population, although they suffered the most in most cases, at least, because they lived right in the middle of the city, right next to the cathedrals, and lived probably under fairly poor health conditions.
So we look for culprits, is what you're saying.
That is the same what we have today. There are riots already against people who look Asian somehow. I have not heard anything of that sort here in the city. And my wife, Carolyn, who is Japanese-American, hasn't experienced anything yet. But she is aware or alert and hopes that nothing will happen. But it's a danger. This is not a sickness or an epidemic that is somehow traceable to an individual, to a group of people or a country or race, but rather it's a natural catastrophe.
We tend not to put things in perspective, Dr. Clausen. We're hearing some numbers that have been coming out that the death toll could be 100,000 to 200,000 Americans. That's horrible. There's no question about it. I'm just curious, what was the percentage of people who died of the Black Death back in those days?
Well, the first major attack on Europe, 1347, resulted in about 30% of the entire population. So we're talking about 30-35 million. So completely different proportions from what we're facing right now, because we have such a wonderful medical field that helps us. And we understand things so much better.
How do you keep from living in fear, Dr. Clausen?
Oh, I write poetry. I keep up my work. I have responsibilities. I have my students, my classes. I have hundreds and hundreds of colleagues worldwide I'm in touch with. And I am just simply an optimist. And I believe that when I just can get up in the morning, listen to the birds, and try to stay healthy physically and mentally, and then turn to my work and do my job as everyone else does, and do it as well as I can, then I feel good. And I also must say I'm a Boethian. I believe in the teachings of Boethius, a philosopher who died a miserable death in the year 525, and before his death he wrote treatise called The Consolation of Philosophy.
I'm not aware of this individual. How is his name spelled, please?
Boethius.
Hmm.
I just finished teaching him this morning, and I have about 47 students, and I bet you they all agreed with me this was the most timely reading they had right now.
Why are you so keen then on this particular individual?
He teaches us in a philosophical, logical, Neoplatonic way to understand what is worldly, temporal happiness and what is true happiness.
Hmm.
And what we can do as individuals every day to understand who we are and our own limitation, and what we can do to overcome those limitations and reach for the higher good.
How do you think this will change teaching? And I know the university is closed, the campus is closed, but of course online teaching goes on. How is that going to change as we move forward out of this?
Well, I really hope that we will be able to return to traditional face-to-face teaching that cannot be replaced. What we do right now is emergency teaching, and I think all students know that, but in most cases we cannot replicate or replace traditional teaching. This is person-to-person. We try our best, and I think the American university systems and our University of Arizona is perfectly equipped to handle this emergency, but it is an emergency.
Yeah, and it's, you brought up something about, we're trying to do all of our interviews here, well, we are doing all of our interviews with telephonically, but something is lost. I really miss the someone sitting across from a table from me as I do interviews. There's nothing like one-on-one communication, Professor Claussen.
That's absolutely right, because communication is not only words. Communication means the person, gestures, mimicry, the eyes, faces, whatever it might be, just the chemistry of the person,
mm-hmm.
which we communicate so much better, so much more intensively.
Well, we're trying to make do the best we can to keep the program on the air, and we're doing it telephonically. How about your own situation? You took I know you do the European trips every summer. What's the thinking on that?
Well, everything was canceled. Every study abroad program was canceled, so I feel very sad about it, but I need to keep also the safety and health of my students. So hopefully we get through this all, and then we'll come out of it stronger and better and more prepared, and then can resume what we want and need to do in the future.
Dr. Albrecht Claussen, always a pleasure having you on our radio program. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you very much, Dr. Albrecht Claussen. He is just such a great mind. Distinguished professor at the University of Arizona in German studies. He has so many different titles. I love the one that he talked about, Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions. Boy, I bet that's a really neat certificate that he has, I'm sure, beautifully framed. Governor Doug Ducey will be hosting a COVID-19 virtual town hall. That's coming up Thursday at 6 o'clock. We're carrying it live. He will be answering your questions. So that's coming up 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. on 10:30, The Voice. That'll do it today for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Couch, my engineer producer, we're hoping that you have a very good afternoon and evening, and stay safe. I guess that's the important message to everyone. Dave Ramsey's program, very popular program, is next. Have a great day.